news, everyone.
It's Jake Z. Lee.
And there's a surprise in your cereal box.
Oh, wait, you're serious? Let me laugh even harder.
You know what? You just made the list!
Hooray! People are paying attention to me.
It's all in the house.
Sure, we talk about it all the time.
Really?
No, burn.
What is up, you ducks? And yeah, I forgot I still need to work on that brand new intro, kind of like a hobbled together intro from the old one. Working on a new one. I was out of town. I was on the worst
it's
coast.
Fantastic.
The West Coast. I was on the West Coast. Did you like living on the West Coast, Manny? Because I didn't like the 3 hours while we're out there. I actually like California for where we finally visited San Francisco area. Saw the Golden Gate Bridge. We did not go into San Francisco. Mm. My wife was telling me it's like worse than ever before, like even possibly daytime.
I told you.
Watch your back. Yeah, I know. But bad. That 3 hours, man, it's just like, I'm still trying to wake up at normal time and I'm getting hungry. And then I feel like the afternoon, it's like, oh, sports are over. Like, it's just, it's so weird out there.
I actually loved it. I was a big fan, although I am a Nighthawk. I really enjoyed it. I liked the fact that sports did start early. You know, it's a little weird to have games start at 10 in the morning. I remember I was in Vegas for March Madness once and, you know, waking up at 8, games are already on the go.
That was the biggest thing.
I enjoy something. There's something about, like, you know, like the 7 p.m. Eastern start times, like those games are actually over at 7. You could go do something that evening if you wanted to. Like you could watch a game at 4 o'clock and it'd be over at 7. And then you can go for dinner or movie with your girlfriend, your fiance, your wife, whatever. So I enjoyed that part of it. But it's an adjustment period for football because the Sunday morning football starts at like 10 and the game's in London.
Well,
hell, 6:30.
I was going to say you got London. I just don't even deal with that. The March Madness was killing me. I'm like, you know, we're going out and getting breakfast and stuff like, oh, games are already halfway done. Like, this is what the hell's going on over here. I actually think if it wasn't for the fact of having to live into the central time zone, sorry, everybody in the central time zone that's going to hate me for this. If you didn't have to live there, I actually think they have the perfect time. I wouldn't mind bumping back 1 hour, but then you would have to live out in that area. Chicago's nice, but the rest of that is just...
Where I'm at is the worst, because games start...
You're an hour ahead.
Yeah, the 7 Eastern games start at 8. Like, I don't know, if you're a fan of a West Coast team, like I've been watching the Angels religiously for the past few years, they start like 10,
3 o'clock in the morning.
Like if I cared about them, the games would be over at 2:30. Like that's I remember when they started doing the double
that
hitter
Friday night football. What was the tournament game that went way out like over past midnight? Yeah, that was like 1:30 for you by the time that was done.
I watched the Jayhawks opening day and that started at 10:35. It was over at like 1:40 in the morning. I'm like, oh well, I'm still.
Are you
off.
A Jayhawks fan?
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I've been a Jayhawks fan. I mean, the story, my mom bought me a tee Chamberlain tee when I was like 5 years old, and I've just been a Jayhawks fan ever since. So.
Oh, okay. Well, let's talk actual fantasy football, because that's what we're here to talk about. It is that time of the year to have some fun and talk debates, really. Hey, we're going to do this for a while. We got the draft coming up in April. We have plenty of time for that. Sorry for the switch in Tuesday shows 2 weeks in a row after I promised last week. Everybody's going to be like coming in on Wednesday tomorrow and be like, you told me we're back to Wednesdays. This time it's Meanie's fault.
That's my bad.
Yeah. Meanie changing things up for you. But speaking of changing things up, there we go. I don't know. We could do top 10 wide receivers, a little bit past that for discussion. I don't know if we'll get the same list as last year because the same list of last year already has a couple question marks. I want to actually just start with one because I could give you the 10 for you know what? This is the 10 that finished in points because points per game is slightly different, but let's just run through it real quickly. CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, Amon-Ra St. Brown, Puka Nacua, fourth last year, Mike Evans, AJ Brown, DJ Moore, Keenan Allen, Stephon Diggs, and Nico Collins. There are two in there. And the first one I want to start with was DJ Moore because DJ Moore, we assumed and knew that Justin Fields wasn't going to be the quarterback for the next season. We talked about that extensively. And now we have the trade, which is a whole other topic in itself. You have to love what the Steelers are doing for the value that they're getting, by the way. $1.2 million for Russell Wilson and then essentially nothing picks-wise. Worst case scenario for them is a fourth? Seriously? Anyway, great what they're doing for them. But they have Caleb Williams coming in, and everything is like, okay, Caleb Williams, maybe even as a rookie, has similar passing numbers to Justin Fields, so DJ Moore, if he likes him, should like him, right back to possible top 12. Maybe you bump him down just for the risk of a rookie quarterback. But that was before a trade that they made. And it wasn't the Justin Fields trade, man. It was the Keenan Allen trade, who they brought in. By the way, kudos on the Bears on getting that value. I think the Chargers should have gotten a little bit more for Keenan Allen, but that's a whole other story as well. But because Keenan Allen is there, is it safe to say there's no way on earth that DJ Moore finishes as, hell, let's just even say a wide receiver one. Let's include the extra two spots for DJ Moore because, yeah. I mean, I guess the argument is Caleb Williams comes out and plays just as well, if not better than CJ Stroud, but you still would have to have concentrated targets to Keenan Allen and DJ Moore, leave out Cole Kmet, leave out the potential for the backfield to have some dump offs to Caleb Williams. It's maybe not his game, but it just kind of feels like the Keenan Allen addition just destroyed the chances of DJ Moore repeating.
Yeah, it really does. That was initially my thought too. When I mean, I have DJ Moore in a couple dynasty leagues, and it's like, it's a bit of a bummer. Of course, real life football, Bears fans setting up their number one pick in Caleb Williams. Like, I can't remember a quarterback who's going to come into the league as the number one overall pick set up as nice as he is. What, Andrew Luck when they had Reggie Wayne and T.Y. Hilton?
I mean, that was
usually
nice
a first overall pick. Is they're lacking options because they were the worst team in football the year before. But of course, this isn't their pick. So yeah, I'd say I like DJ Moore more than Keenan Allen. But Keenan Allen, man, he's a target hog. He's a red zone threat. He's just reliable when he's on the field. He's a safety valve. Who knows? It could turn into Caleb Williams' guy. Like, that could be his third down guy. He could still be a PPR monster. Maybe the touchdowns that we saw from DJ Moore last year, which we didn't really see over the first few years of his career, maybe they come down a touch. So I like DJ Moore than Keenan, but I would say he's more of like a 14-15.
So did you just include more and more into one word?
I did. Yeah, I didn't mean to, but it just
more
happened.
Than Keenan. Yeah. So, yeah. I mean, let's be honest about this though. I think it's safe to say, not safe to say that it will happen, but it's safe to say that there is a world where Keenan Allen potentially outperforms DJ Moore. So is this looking at it that way and say maybe Keenan Allen is a great value pick next year because of what happened last season?
Yeah, to see where he falls. Like, I don't think he's going to be drafted as a top 15 wide receiver. Like, people are just going to be like, he's dust. Keenan Allen, he's a little bit older. It's a different offense. Rookie quarterback. Barkley's freaking out. I love it. I'd say he may be the better value. But I still think that the upside
how are
is...
How getting the Zooms at 10 o'clock the Zooms in the morning?
Pretty early for you. Yeah, I still think that DJ has the higher ceiling. Would you agree with that? Like, just given his age?
There's no question about that. I mean, how many years did we spend watching him in Carolina and being like, man, if he could just score some touchdowns? You remember DJ Moore's season? Like 1,200 yards. Three touchdowns.
Three touchdowns.
That's the Julio Jones special. Look,
Cam Newton always ran the ball in, and he had just other quarterbacks that weren't great.
So let's get into the other name. Because we just talked Keenan Allen, who was back in that top 10. By the way, Keenan Allen last year, just insane. Fifth in points per game last year. Fifth. And people don't even realize that. And still in his 13 games was still top 10. Think about that. Like, just for what he just did. And that was with Justin Herbert. Well, of course, and now there's no wide receivers left in Los Angeles. Justin Herbert's depth chart as of today for everybody. Quentin Johnston. Make sure you get those extra ends in there. And then Joshua Palmer and Darius Davis. Those are his top three as of right now. That's what he... By the way, Gerald Everett's not there anymore. Maybe it's his big times for tight ends. Who knows? Going to run the ball. Gus Edwards, bell cow. That's what they're already calling him.
Oh, yeah.
I think there's a little bit of... Yeah, I think we'll see how this draft shakes out. But all that being said, is there anyone in the Chargers? I know we're talking top 10s today, but I just wanted to touch on Keenan Allen's old team. Is there anyone between Quentin Johnston, Joshua Palmer, maybe they surprise us and draft somebody in the first round? And I say surprise because this is going to be a run first team. Run. But you can't do this to Justin Herbert unless you're just deciding to move on next year. Is there any world where one of them can finish inside the top 25? With Justin Herbert? I mean, it is still Justin. Like, for somebody that's not even the biggest Justin Herbert fan, let's be clear about this. Like, I was also wrong about Justin Herbert. I still remember sitting in the airport coming back from the combine, and I tweeted out, you know, when people used to do like turning words into other words, like they dropped it like letter, 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 and then letter, 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 and make it bigger. Do you know what I'm talking about? So I did Herbert down to Herbert down to like, and I went all the way down, and then I brought back with the T's and I changed Herbert into Gabbert because I was saying he reminds me of Blaine Gabbert. He's obviously much better than Blaine Gabbert. I'm saying like, I know exactly. So I know, yeah. I was wrong. I was clearly wrong on Justin Herbert that he could even be top 15 quarterback in the NFL. All that being said, there's still concerns and this team is going run heavy. He's still good though. He's still a good quarterback. Somebody has to catch the ball for that cliche to throw out there, Meanie. So if, let's say, the depth chart is what it is today and they don't draft the wide receiver until the third or fourth round, which means they're going to be behind Quentin Johnson and Joshua Palmer, can either one of them be top 24?
I don't think so.
Really? Are we really just dismissing Quentin Johnston that quickly after what happened his rookie season? Like, people are – I am buying him in Dynasty. People are completely off on him after one season.
I couldn't agree more on buying him in Dynasty. This is one season, you're right, and he did play behind Keenan Allen and Mike Williams and Palmer, right? He played behind Palmer. We didn't see him play in a legitimate wide receiver two role until like the last couple games of the season when everybody was hurt. And he actually showed up. Like, when he got targets, he did a couple nice things. So, but top 24 is just, it's tough. I mean, I guess you could talk me into it. I say like a high end wide receiver three, but there are a lot of good wide receivers that I think will, you know, get more volume than him. But if they don't address, they have to draft a wide receiver. I don't know if it's going to be as early as five with Neighbors or Adunze.
Oh, here you go. I'll give you a stat line. If they
draft one of those two guys, I would say for sure, 100%.
I'll give you a stat line. 70 receptions, 1,000 yards, 8 touchdowns.
That's a great number. I think that's a little high.
On the touchdowns?
Yeah, the 8 touchdowns, I guess, scared me a little bit. 70 grabs, I think, is possible. Maybe he lives in the 60s.
All right, they're fine. Here, I'll give you one more.
How about you try to give me a number that's like wide receiver 24.
Oh, here, 60. I went even higher on that one. That would have given you top 20.
Yeah.
64 receptions, 800 yards, and 8 touchdowns.
Yeah, I could see a line like that.
That was Jaden Reed last year.
That was Jaden Reed.
Wide receiver 23.
Wide receiver 20, yeah. Low end.
But in points per game, he's a little bit, I don't know why I said points per game like that. Points per game. He was a little bit lower than that into the 30 range. But okay, let's get back to the top 10. So I want to ask you, this is going to be kind of crazy to start with too, is like, who is your number one? Because this is weird. Like, every year we head into the wide receivers and we're like, it's hard for wide receivers to repeat as number one. Talk about Antonio Brown doing it for 2 or 3 years. It was actually 2 years in a row and 3 to 4 years, which was just insane. It just doesn't happen. But all that being said is, usually we head into the next season and it's kind of like, we know it probably won't repeat, but it's blank again. Like, it's usually the repeat of the previous year. It was Justin Jefferson this year from the year before where it was Jefferson. And we look at this and go every single time, like, well, let's make the arguments for the other people. The argument's already being made, meaning that there doesn't seem to be a clear number one this year, because CeeDee Lamb was number one last year. He tied Tyreek Hill in points per game last year. He's also in the conversation. I see some people who want to put Jefferson there still, talking about his numbers weren't that bad without Kirk Cousins. And then there's the whole Ja'Marr Chase argument, like, if he can stay healthy, if he takes a slight step forward, if he does blah, 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 blah. Who's your number one? Because it feels pretty open this year.
Yeah, it does. I still like Tyreek Hill. I mean, CeeDee Lamb or Tyreek Hill would be right there. The thing with Tyreek, like last year when we did this debate, we talked about him, how he deserved to be in that tier. Like, I remember having the conversation, like, he deserves to be in the tier with Justin Jefferson. Like, he deserves to be up there. He was second in wide receiver points, and it's a little bit behind, I think, in fantasy points per game. And this year he improved his number in fantasy points per game. You talked about how he was tied with CeeDee Lamb. I mean, he's just shown us now. Year one was uncertain with Tua. Like, what's it going to look like without Patrick Mahomes? And he just had his best season ever. And then he just doubled down last year. He was just a cheat code. He really was a cheat code. I think that the Miami team lost a lot of key defenders. Maybe they throw the football a little bit more. Maybe they're not blowing teams out, bad teams out. I don't know if that plays into it for you, but I'd say that CeeDee likely has more targets, maybe slightly more volume, but Tyreek Hill is still just I think the ceiling is just a touch higher, and he has those 150 yard games and 2 touchdowns and like a half. It's just a game changer.
Can I do something that I tell you never to do on this show? And I generally try. I'm going to straddle the fence because I'm going to. Well, no. Because I'm going to say I want to see what happens in the draft
with Dallas.
With both, because if Dallas, you know, goes back to their old ways, and maybe Jerry Jones, they take a running back in the second round, and they take a bell cowish. Maybe it's Benson. Maybe the Jonathan Brooks, and they think he's going to be 100%. I'd pull off. I know it's crazy to say a running back, but I would. I would actually pull off a little bit from Lamb because I don't think they might pass as much. I mean, part of even as good, I'll put that in quotes. Tony Pollard was fine last year. Tony Pollard was a disappointment for fantasy, but he was fine for real life. And the combination with Rico Dowdle, they were good. There was a good backfield. But if you have that kind of bell cowy and knowing what this team would do, maybe it's a little bit different with the coaches now, but whatever it might be. I think an early-ish, round two, round three, even though they don't draft there, you get my point. If they took a running back like that, I'd say, okay, maybe you get a little bit more balanced this year. It wasn't working every single week with how pass-happy they got. It actually was against them. Like, it hurt them at times. And then on the flip side, if Miami actually drafted a wide receiver and actually had a legitimate number three receiver, because part of Hill last year was the fact that Waddle was banged up and missed a few games. And actually, if you look at their game logs, CeeDee Lamb got better in fantasy throughout the year and finished on a terrific, like, he was blowing away the wide receiver competition in the second half of the season. Again, they got pass happy. On the flip side, Tarik Hill actually fell off a little bit, still averaging 15 or so a week. But as Waddle got back into the mix, as Tua struggled a little bit towards the end of the season, as a sidebar, are we starting to get concerned with this whole Tua? You remember Adam LaRoche in baseball? Is Tua the Adam LaRoche of quarterbacks? Like, you only get half the season. It's just got to figure. Like, for the longest time, Adam LaRoche never showed up until the second half of the season. And then at the very end of his career, there was one year where it reversed. And I think that's what he is. He's bizarro Adam LaRoche. Is that, like, the second half of the season, for what, the second year in a row, Tua's fallen off? Is this, like, now a new concern?
Man, you hope not. This is a big season for him too, right? He's going to get paid. Is Miami going to go down that road? He needs to show that he can beat good teams. I know that's the narrative, and people don't want to hear that, but he does need to show that he can beat a good team that can get pressure into his, that, you know, the teams that he lost last year were very similar squads, like, got pressure in his face and he panicked. And he wasn't able to make those throws. So I don't know. Maybe he's Mark not DeShera. As bad as Adam LaRoche. DeShera is a good one. Just looking at Tyreek again, compared to 2022 and 2023, I guess the only real difference is the touchdowns. I mean, 170 targets, 171 targets, 1,700 yards, then 7 scores to 13 scores. Maybe to your point, Waddle was he was invisible for the first few weeks of the season. And he only showed up, and, like, he only had, compared to 2022, like, which was a really good season for him, I feel like he only had 3 or 4 of those type of games last year. I think they came in games against the Pats when Bill Belichick maybe took away Tyreek Hill, but I still think he is just such a game changer.
Tua lit up the Pats at home. I'm looking now, to your point here, at Buffalo, kind of a meh game, 281, 1-1, or 282, 1-1. And then at Philly, stinker. At Kansas City, stinker. At Jets, stinker. And then a lot of
those teams have in common.
And that's what I was going to say, like, before we start, like, focusing on the road games, because then at home to the Jets, still not great. Did complete 21 of 24 for 224 and one touchdown. They didn't really need him in that game. That was the one that they won 30-0. But Buffalo at home, 173-1-2. And then we know the playoff game at Kansas City, 20 for 39 for 199, 1-1. Like you said, it's getting pressure in their face. It's going to be a telling thing next year. The interesting thing, too, is, like,
I wanted to. Oh, go ahead. I thought you were.
I was going
to
say their offensive line.
Yes.
I don't know. Is that going to magically change for next year?
I think they've had the worst offseason out of any team. They've just lost a lot of key players.
It's hard to argue that you're wrong. What was the one thing you were going to say?
I was going to say, like, you brought up a really good point about Dallas and, like, what they do in the draft if they draft a guy, because Dak was among the leaders in passing attempts. And, like, if they draft a guy that they feel like could actually, I know Tony Pollard was among the leaders in red zone rushing attempts, but he wasn't too successful in that role. But if they could draft a guy that they do feel like, hey, we can hand this off like we did to Zeke back in the day, then maybe those pass attempts come down, and maybe that's where you split hairs, where CeeDee Lamb maybe just fewer red zone targets. But it's hard to argue with those guys. They're both studs.
All right. And before we continue, I actually like this question. We got Garrett in the chat asking, by the way, Jay's just really bitter because Duke's about to lose in the tournament and just continues to come for the Tar Heels. But that's what you said. I did say the Tar Heels. I actually said the Tar Heels were going to lose this game coming up, actually before the tournament even started, when people were talking smack about stuff, just because I know my Tar Heels. I know this is not a championship team this year. They're fun, but they're not. It's basically UConn or Purdue.
They've gone further than I thought.
Oh, you had them losing before this?
I guess, like, I just thought some of the ones weren't as good as what they were. I obviously knew UConn was.
I tweeted this out, and people got so upset. So upset about this. Like, understanding the context here, I said, after all these years, is the ACC finally underrated? I said, are they finally underrated? Like, I'm obviously pointing out the fact that they're not underrated. They're actually usually overrated. Like, the SEC, by the way, was overrated this year.
Yes.
But Clemson, still going. NC State, still going. Like, is this the year where they're finally underrated? And somebody was like, who has all the banners and blah, blah, blah. I'm like, dude, I was just pointing out the fact that, like, they're seeding and nobody had them going anywhere and all these teams were going to get knocked out and they still have most of them alive. Anyway, this question from Garrett. Should he sell Breece Hall for the 104 and a 12-team 11 Superflex? So it's the 11s setup, but Superflex. Basically, 1-4 for Breece Hall, Superflex. I say yes, Meanie. I don't even care that's Superflex. I would consider 1-4, period, because non-Superflex, it's going to be Caleb Williams, Marvin Harrison, Neighbors, and probably Rome. Like, that's probably going to be the top four in most. It's Dynasty. I'm always going to trade the running back. There's like 1 year, boom, changes. And so I would, but especially the Superflex, because, you know, just to give you an idea, one of my leagues, I actually have 3 first-rounders, and I was trying to get to 1 to get Caleb Williams. Not happening. I was trying to get to 2, because then I could get Marvin Harrison. Hopefully they're not listening to this, and I don't think it's going to change their opinion, but it's a super flex. It sounds like I'm going to get Marvin Harrison anyway at 3, because I'm at 3. I was trying to get to 1 or 2. I was originally trying to get to 1. Anyway, point being, it's like, because the person who said back from 2 actually countered trying to get 2 of my firsts for later picks. And he's like, I was trying to get one of the top wide receivers, which tells me he's going for Jaden Daniels or maybe Drake May with the number 2. I'm setting that all up to say is super flex, one of those 3 quarterbacks, Daniels, even May, and I'm not the biggest May fan, Caleb, Marvin Harrison, Neighbors. Like, I'm taking all of those over Breece Hall, period, is what my point is.
Yeah, I mean, the quarterbacks are so valuable in the super flex league. I've been in so much trouble before having 3 and a couple guys go down and you are just starting somebody else in that second spot. And heck, man, some super flex leagues don't even, I mean, this is super flex. So the term itself, you should be able to start somebody else in that second quarterback spot. But some leagues out there, you have to start 2 quarterbacks. So you really need to have a couple. I agree. Breece Hall, I think he's actually a good sell high candidate in dynasty leagues.
I love Hall though.
I love Hall too, and it just depends on your team, Garrett. Like, are you in a win now situation?
Or he's complete rebuild.
There's your answer. You have, oh my goodness, have 101, 102, 105.
He has half the first round.
Holy crap. Well, why not just get rid of the whole squad and draft a new one? I mean, you probably don't even need the 104. You got all those pieces.
I would do it, though, even more so in that case. But you probably could even get – I think, actually, you might be able to get more than the 104 for Breece Hall. But anyway, I just wanted to throw that out there.
You can
there.
Get like, Marv, the fact that and you can get a quarterback.
Valuing running backs. Like, if I have Zamir White, especially before the draft, go see what you can get for Zamir White. They draft somebody. They already Alexander Madison. Wait. Yes.
Yeah,
right?
They did.
That's like when I trip and like all of a sudden like just brain farted on some of these players. Like, wait, I had them right. They're in the right spot. Let's get back and as we finish, let's go back to the wide receivers and finish this out. Like, I would trade for a wide receiver. Period. Those are rookies, let alone what you could potentially get for Breece Hall. So I think people are going to be willing to pay a lot for Breece Hall. I think you could potentially get some more. The Keep Trade Cut site. It's not rankings with theirs. They actually go off trades and they go off how trades have been valued. So you can kind of get a gauge of what Breece Hall has been bringing back. It's a good resource site to use to kind of give you, like, we have trade charts, FTN, all that type of stuff. But that also kind of gives you like what the market is doing. And so it's not going to be, I disagree with that site plenty of times because it's the market. And because we're sitting here and saying this is like, this is what we would do. the market is going to be different. Like we were just talking about, go get DJ Moore. The site probably is going to have DJ Moore further down than what his true value is because it's what the market's willing to pay. So I want to make that clear for everybody out there. Like, it's not the Bible. Don't go buy it for every single trade in Dynasty. Right. Coming back, so we're CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill, remains to be seen. Is Jefferson really not in this conversation? We need to come back to this. Like, it's the numbers are there without Kirk Cousins to say he can still be top five. The clear number one is the question. We don't know who the quarterback is as today, as of today, Nick Mullins, but maybe they trade up. But the problem is if they trade up, I mean, whether it's Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, there's a huge question mark of not having Kirk Cousins throwing 4,400 yards, 30-plus touchdowns. Is this just we are scared of his quarterback situation? Because Justin Jefferson was on another level, similar to Cooper Kupp, was on another level there for a time, which, by the way, to go back 2 years ago, that he can't repeat. He's just not, you brought it up. We sat here and argued last year that Tyreek Hill deserves to be in this conversation. Right now, there's a two-person tier. Like, everybody is Lamb or Hill, and then nobody is putting Chase or Jefferson there.
I would put Chase there if T. Higgins was traded. I think that's obvious. I think most people would. I don't think he, I mean, talent-wise, he deserves to be in this tier. We're talking ceiling, he deserves to be in this tier. But the quarterback play does bother me, and I am worried. Yeah, he had two good games with Nick Mullins against Detroit where they gave up a ton of yards, and he was great in that offense. But I think that's unsustainable with Mullins all year or a rookie quarterback like McCarthy. Is McCarthy going to be the guy there? And like, unless they trade up, it's not going to be, we know it's not going to be Caleb Williams, it's not going to be Jaden Daniels, it's probably not going to be Drake May, unless they are aggressive and they trade with Arizona they make some sort of trade like that. Then I'll be a little bit more excited about Justin Jefferson. You know, they still have Addison's there. TJ Hawkins is going to miss some time. He's a stud, but he's not going to be on that level. Even last year, 16.8 fantasy points per game. Over 10 games. I mean, he had a great 10 games, 1,000 yards, 68 grabs, 100 targets. Like, those right, are so healthy you're on numbers.
You're on the clock today. You're on the clock today. You have to take Chase or Jefferson with number three.
I would take Chase because of Joe Burrow.
You seem reluctant to say that, though.
Because I do believe that Justin Jefferson.
What if I told you it was Drake May and not J.J. McCarthy?
If it was Drake May, yeah, but he still wouldn't be on the first tier. Like, I would take JJ then.
But you would take Jefferson over Chase.
I mean,
Drake May is better Sam Howell. Like, let's be honest about that. Like, before people go nuts over who Drake. But if I told you right now Sam Howell is the quarterback of the Vikings next year,
I think people
would put Jefferson in the conversation with Lamb and Hill again. If I told you it was Sam Howell.
Quarterback.
And that's so there. That's where I'm coming from. My argument is Jefferson is here and Jefferson is in this tier. He is the third person of this tier for that argument. As long as it's not McCarthy, like if it's JJ McCarthy, I'm throwing this out the window, completely out the
dude
window.
Dude is rising up like draft props.
I tweeted that. Yes. Can I get his damn PR team? This would be the highest watched podcast and listened to in the history of forever. If we had his PR team, who the hell is on this guy's PR team?
I don't know, but he is gone from, I think, 22-1. I remember Randall and I talked on here at FTX.
This is why I wish you could bet. I want to be able to bet against things like this. This is why, because I want the opposite odds, and I want to take he's not going number three. Do you remember who the number two consensus was last year, betting-wise? It was Levis. Levis was number two betting-wise last year.
He rose up like this. Yeah, he did. And it was a mistake for anybody.
It was clearly a mistake. That's why I wish you could go against it. All right. So finishing at number three last year is somebody we haven't even talked about. Now, ahead of Jefferson and Chase, by the way, ahead of Jefferson, including in points per game even, and that is the sun god. Is Amon-Ra St. Brown, is he disrespected being fifth?
No, I don't think so. I mean, there's just so many good wide receivers. I think he, you know, if I mean, I know he's a guy that does feel like he's disrespected. I remember on draft day, he wrote down all the teams that passed on him and he would get revenge on all of them. He's a great wide receiver and he is ascending in the NFL over the past couple of years. He's been fantastic. So no, I don't think there's any disrespect. He deserves to be where he is as a top five wide receiver in a full point PPR league. Are you going to take him over Chase or Jefferson? I just don't. I couldn't.
I think it's because is he not the safest though? He's the safest.
Oh, yeah.
He's better Keenan Allen.
Yeah.
Not by much, but he's better Keenan Allen.
I mean, you just love everything about the fact that Goff is back and Johnson's like everyone's back. The OC, the line is solid. The team just keeps improving. They're going to probably have another draft. Good draft. So like both sides of the football is pretty solid there in Detroit. So just,
but all right. So to come back to this, is he clearly your number five as well? So like, as of right now, I want to make our top 10 before we get out of here. So we have Lamb Hill. I'm going with you on Lamb for now. Lamb Hill or no,
you're going Hill. Me, but you're that's Hill. Fine.
Yeah. You're going against like Lamb Hill 1-2. Yeah. And then Jefferson Chase. So kind of like, again, like we're kind of like pocketing these two. Are we going with Amon-Ra St. Brown at five, or you want to make an argument for somebody else? Because I feel like whether you put Jefferson in tier one or tier two, I think the big five is a big five. Like, I don't think anybody else is entering this conversation unless you want to make a case for somebody.
No, I don't. Amon-Ra's there. He deserves to be there.
Okay, so we have St. Brown at five. At six, now we're starting to get interesting here, because I think this next tier, you could look at it two ways. You could make an argument for it being like three or four dudes, or it could be like 15. It's just like it depends on your outlook on this. So right now at number six, I'm going to actually give the floor to you for a second. I'm not going to throw out a name this time. I'm going to say, if it's you, Chris Meany, this is now All in Football with Chris Meany asking Jake, who would your conversation start with at six?
AJ Brown, or I'm pretty bullish on Puka. I could be talked into Puka over AJ Brown, honestly. I really could. But I'm going to go with AJ, and I'm going to go. You're right. There's like five or six different guys I think that deserve to be on this tier that we can make cases for. But I'll go with AJ. New offense, of course, with Kellen Moore, but the sample that he had for the 6-7 games in a row where he had the NFL record, that's the ceiling. The offense was very stale. I expect it to be different this year. I really do. So I'll go with AJ, link to Hurts. That'd be a next guy.
You bring that up that's actually why I'm going to go the other direction, is because how many times do we sit here on this show and actually just even from a rooting standpoint for you and say, run the damn ball, Eagles. And that's my concern, is that they're smarter and more balanced next year when they actually should be running, because, oh, by the way, who do they have at running back now? Yeah. Saquon effing Barkley is now running back. And that involves targets to him as well. You're not wrong. I do not disagree with you at all. The ceiling of the AJ Brown, the record, that's immense. But that, with Devonta Smith still being around, and the fact that let's remember this time again, last year, there was a conversation of how much is Devonta Smith going to hurt AJ Brown, because there was that run where he was better than AJ Brown back 2 years ago. So yeah. I don't disagree with you in concept, but I actually think that because of the change and because of the addition of Saquon Barkley, that could actually pull off of AJ Brown to a better team, like better real life NFL team, which I hate to see. But for that reason, we're talking about a rookie who just set records going into his second year with nothing has changed. Now, of course, if Matthew Stafford gets hurt, this is going to go out the window. But to be fair, Jalen Hurts leaves Kenny Pickett as the option if he gets hurt, which might just be as bad. So Kenny Pickett, Stenson Bennett, I'm going to go Nacua over AJ Brown. Did I say enough to get, we haven't had the consensus yet outside of St. Brown. It's a two-person consensus, but did I say enough to bring you to Nacua?
Not really. Everything that you said is on point. Like I had those same conversations.
I'm still putting him at six.
I think if it's a full point PPR league, I that's enough for me to be like, you know what, it's Nacua, and it's Nacua clearly, because I do believe he will have more catches. I do believe he'll have more targets, than AJ will. But yeah, it's tight.
Okay. All right.
LA's going to run the ball, too. We know that. Kyren's going to run the ball 20 times a game as well.
So we have 8, 9, 10, three spots left. And there's some names. So we have, for a recap real quick, CeeDee Lamb, Tyreek Hill. We're back and forth in that one. Jefferson, Chase, back and forth in that one. I thought I made a really good case for Justin Jefferson. I thought he pulled you around on that one. St. Brown at 5, Nacua, A.J. Brown. It's because it's my show, these toss-ups, those are the names. My names are going first, but to be understanding, those are all really tight names here. Yeah, and now I start at 8. So from last year, we've already kicked out DJ Moore. We've already kicked out Keenan Allen. If you remember a few weeks ago, number 9, even as bad as things were, we're talking some miserable single-digit. Actually, if you chop off basically from week 10 through the end of the season, we're not even talking about a top 20 wide receiver with the next guy we're about to bring up, who finished at number 9. Stephon Diggs, weeks ago, we already threw him out of this conversation. He's not. That conversation a few weeks ago is whether or not Stephon Diggs was still top 20, to give you an idea. So he's out. So we've kicked out Moore, Keenan, and Diggs. The one that we haven't brought up finished inside the top 10 at number 10. He was also 6th in points per game. But no one on earth, I have not seen a ranking list anywhere yet that has put Nico Collins even as a wide receiver 1, Chris Meany, maybe like wide receiver 12, but we're putting him potentially inside the top 10. Is Nico Collins in the conversation for 8 at all in your mind?
Yes. Yeah.
Okay.
I like it. I think he deserves to be, absolutely. And I know that people love Tank Dell, all right? And Tank Dell is nice. He's good, but I don't think his ceiling is as high as Nico Collins. I don't view him as like a 1. I think he's a nice player and he had some really good games last year, but can he do that consistently? Nico Collins is like, man, he's an alpha. He can handle top coverage. He's a big body in the red zone. There's obviously a rapport there. CJ Stroud is phenomenal. So I do think that he's in this conversation. And like you said, nobody else is putting him there. He's a guy that you can probably draft a running back and get Nico as your wide receiver 1 in the second round. But I don't you think that he deserves to be in there? I do. I think he's passed every single test from all the bad quarterback play he's had before that.
Well, there's a name that I was about to bring up, although I think people are going to be upset with this one. And I want to see where he was in points per game ranking last year because I didn't have this ready. But I will tell you right now, this person in points per game, it's even worse than I thought it was. Granted, I'm going to set this up to say, got to kiss the wife goodbye real quick as we do this live on the podcast.
Yeah, get on the go.
There we go. I can actually say that this year. So there you go. Yeah, got to kiss the wife goodbye. Doesn't it? Yeah, it does. Wait, the kiss or saying that I got to kiss? Hey,
I assume the kiss felt good.
It was a bad quarterback situation last year. But to say that the quarterback situation changing it is going to jump this wide receiver from wide receiver 37 in points per game last year. Again, quarterback situation probably could not have gotten worse. But still, wide receiver 37 to jump him all the way up to right now. Consensus has him at 7, 30 spots. Do you know who I'm talking about?
No.
Garrett Wilson.
Oh.
I would take Nico Collins over Garrett Wilson.
Yeah, I would too. And I, you know what? Okay. I'm not as high on Garrett Wilson as everybody else. And it's so crazy to say because this time last year I was drinking the Kool-Aid for sure. But Rodgers is another year older now. And there's just more questions around him and the offensive line and this entire Jets squad. So I don't think I'm going to... I don't know, man. I don't think I'm going to have too much Garrett Wilson. Like if he's
and the touchdown upside gets capped by Mike Williams, I think.
Right. Right. There's another guy there.
If
this time last year we were, and that's a big question, a legitimate one to ask and be concerned about. But this time last year it was just Garrett Wilson. That's it. We weren't really like you and I chat about Alan Lazard and how he could be maybe a thorn in his side in the red zone, but we weren't crazy about Alan Lazard or Randall.
No,
Cobb.
But and you remember the argument for it. The argument for Alan Lazard was the touchdowns. It's still the fact that like what my I love Garrett Wilson. Let me make that clear.
I agree.
Just like we were having Rashee Rice conversations. I love some Rashee Rice. I have his jersey. Like I can love players and still understand their flaws for fantasy purposes, actually in real life too. No player is perfect. But what I was saying last year for Garrett Wilson was the DJ Moore comparison. I said, my biggest concern about Garrett Wilson, as big as a fan I am, have him in Dynasty. I ended up with him on very few redraft teams because my argument last year was where he was going, I was out. Forget being right. I'm not saying like, haha, I was right. I didn't think Aaron Rodgers was going to get hurt two plays into the game. The point I was making was that I think he's DJ Moore with 1,200 yards, three touchdowns, 1,100 yards, four touchdowns. Like, that's going to be who he is. And for that reason, I wasn't taking him top 10, top 12 with Rodgers because I was worried about the DJ Moore likeness of him. So with Mike Williams, let me go take this one step further. We're at eight. We're discussing Nico Collins, whether or not Nico Collins ends up eight. We only have two more spots. I'm going to say it right now before we even finish this. Garrett Wilson's not inside my top 10.
He's not in mine either.
Okay. I'm with you. So Garrett Wilson, we love you.
We're just going to be alone on an island, I think, though, but whatever.
Hey, that's a value for us. I'll take it.
Yeah.
All right. So then do you want to put Nico Collins at eight? Or are we putting something else there, someone else there, and we're going to include Nico Collins inside of our top 10?
No, the only other guy, like
Ayuk.
Yeah. Like Ayuk is very similar to Nico Collins to me. I don't think the volume is going to be there, but he's a big play guy. He's been among the leaders in yards per catch in the past couple of seasons. The offense is still the same. I know there's some trade rumors around him, but he's the guy.
I would put Ayuk there.
Yeah. Ahead of Debo. Debo's had that one outlier season. Still solid, but more of a wide receiver two. Ayuk's more of a wide receiver one. Purdy's back. Everybody's back. Yeah. Ayuk is in the top 10 for me. I would rather have him than Garrett Wilson.
Okay. So Ayuk over Nico Collins, though? Yes?
Yeah. One spot.
So we're going Ayuk at eight, Collins at nine. So you have one left. By the way, if you go over to The Athletic and see right now, my ranks, Ayuk at eight, Nico Collins at nine.
Nice. There you go. Okay. Put this together. Awesome.
Yeah, we did this together. Also, I actually did have one flipped. I did have one flipped, by the way, in this list. This is why I didn't argue too much against it back at number five, but I kind of led into it. I have St. Brown at four and then Chase at five. People probably think I'm a little nuts for that one, but
I don't hate that. I don't hate that. Obviously, if T. Higgins is traded, you would move that.
I don't think he is. I don't think he's going to. I think at this point, T. Higgins is there.
The Bengals are not going to trade him. They've done this before with guys that have made a trade.
So, number 10. Now here's where it gets really interesting because we could put a rookie here and Marvin Harrison. Yes, he is that good. Yes, there's legitimate questions of what team he ends up on. If he ends up in Arizona, you could probably make a case that he deserves to be number 10. If he ends up on the Giants or the Patriots, I would say no. I would say not top 10. Maybe not even top 15. Like, let's be honest about that. Yeah. So, we have Harrison. We have, who else do we have that finished last year that we have? Mike Evans finished inside. I was just about to say my top 10 and top 10 in points per game. He was eighth. You already mentioned Debo's name. You could throw him in the conversation. Tank Dell was 11th in points per game before he got hurt. We could come back to DJ Moore, Drake London with a new offense, and Kirk Cousins. Could Drake London sneak into this? Could Stephon Diggs get the rebound and the respect deserved? Or is there a case, and I'll say this is the one I'll throw in at 10 as of right now, especially if you're looking. Should I give you a hint? I don't know if I should give you a hint or not. I'll give you a hint. The number two alongside him as of right now is Rashid Shaheed.
Yeah. Like, they need to draft a guy. I was talking to a Saints buddy the other day, and I was like, man, they're drafting somebody, right? He's like, I don't know. Like, they're definitely going to take O-line early. I'm like, hey, you got it. Mike Thomas is gone. Shaheed is not a two. Perry is not a two. Like, these are nice players to have, but you got to draft somebody to be the two. And if they don't, then Olave would be in this.
That's where I'm going with this. So I'm leaning into what you're going with here. As we're talking about the last 2 years, like the first year of his career and the second year of his career, he is DJ Moore. 1,000 yards, four touchdowns, 1,100 yards, five touchdowns. Kind of, okay, every single year, you're going to be wide receiver 15. That was my argument for DJ Moore back with the Panthers. Like, I'm not ranking it. I'm just wide receiver 15 every single week. It's going to be wrong. It's going to be too high or too low. I don't, like, I'm just done with DJ Moore. That's who Chris Olave is now. And I guess looking at that, I should be like, I'm done with Chris Olave. This is too high. I'm done with this nonsense. But as of today, if he is the one and they don't draft anybody in the first two rounds and they don't think about a wide receiver till round three, that 138 targets last year is probably going to turn into like 150, 160.
Absolutely.
And that is projecting ahead for my argument here, like making assumptions. But I think we have to do that right now because we make the assumption Mike Evans at this size, and I say size because of who he is. These are the type of wide receivers that generally break down. It's a shock to everybody that he did what he did last year. Like, just because, not even Baker Mayfield. It was just a shock for somebody that his build has continued to hold up to the NFL. That's not normal. So his age, his size, Baker Mayfield being able to do it again. You know, Chris Godwin wasn't healthy for part of the year. As you can see, I'm making some arguments against Mike Evans. I just don't know if he repeats. We've already knocked out Stephon Diggs. I'm with you on Tank Dell. I love some Tank Dell, but I just wouldn't put him there. So it really comes down to Chris Olave or Marvin Harrison, unless you have a third person you want to jump into this conversation. So would you take Olave or Marvin Harrison?
I would take Olave, but I'll tell you what, if Marv ends up with Arizona and Kyler.
Would you take Olave then? Or I guess, would you take Olave or would you switch to?
I may switch to Marv if it really was. And it does seem like it's set up to be with Arizona, for him to be with Arizona and Kyler, right? Hollywood's gone. Rondell Moore's gone. We like Michael Wilson as a player, but he's just, unless they trade out, they certainly could. They traded back last year. That's possible, but I would say like they're going to get themselves a wide receiver in the first couple of like whatever guy, and Marv is set up right there for them. Like, let's go get Kyler an alpha. And then I would say I would be drinking the Kool-Aid and have him in over Olave, but man, Olave's a really good wide receiver. I know, you know that, the touchdowns. Maybe it's a good comparison, DJ Moore. Maybe they won't be there. He's not a big body. He doesn't seem to get a lot of red zone targets. But he, when he was playing and he was healthy, you just knew he was going to get like 9 to 12 targets from Derek Carr, who played good actually in the second half of the season in a new system. He looked capable.
Derek Carr's slightly
above average quarterback. Yeah. So as of today, right now, I would put Olave there. Nobody else would really like. I agree with you on.
I was going to throw one at you before we get out of here. So, this wide receiver was 11th. This is why he didn't make our lists. And to answer Jiggle's question, no, I didn't say this is why he didn't make our lists. So there you go. I kind of did it. He finished 11th overall, and in points per game, he was 16th. And I've seen some people, because of what they did at quarterback, put him inside the top 10 now because he did that with the quarterback situation he had last year, which was a lot of Aiden O'Connell, because Jimmy Garoppolo got hurt, and now they have Gardner Minshew, which what we know about Gardner Minshew is that, you know what, for fantasy, not that bad.
Bad at all.
So Davante Adams, does he deserve to be in this conversation? Or is he, we're talking about Marvin Harrison, Davante Adams, DJ Moore, and you want to talk about a giant-ass tier. I mean, we could start talking about another 15 wide receivers. Like, I kind of struggle with this. Like, when I was doing my way too early rankings, it's basically like I felt good about Olave at 10, and then everything from like 11 to like 25. I'm like, you know what? I could see Zay Flowers outscoring Debo Samuel or Devonta Smith jumping all the way up to the top 15, or, you know, I mean, like, there's like so many names in here. And then again, this goes back to my drafting style, is why I know you love to get your wide receivers in first round.
I'm kind of with you this year, though.
Like 1-1, because I'd rather in round 3 draft another running back, even if I went wide receiver. Like, it's kind of like this round 3 range. This round 3, early round 4 is like, I'd rather take the remaining top 12 running backs that are usually down there, because everybody's drafting wide receivers now, and saying, you know what, because why do I need to take wide receiver 11 when round and a half later, wide receiver 20 is the same dude. Wide receiver 24 is the same dude.
Right. Yeah. I mean, I agree.
Real quick, looking at last year, real quick, sorry to do this to you, but if you go from wide receiver 16 last year to drop 2 points per game, you have to get all the way down to wide receiver 29, just to give you an idea of like how small that gap is. Whereas wide receiver 2 to 3 is 2.8. Wide receiver Keenan Allen at 5, 17, is 2.4 over 6. So this lends into your argument. Actually, if you look at Nico Collins at 6, you go 14.6 all the way down to 14.1, DJ Moore. 0.5 of gap is 7 wide receivers. And then you have this 17 wide receiver gap for 1 point after that. So it actually leans into your point about getting one of those top 8, 9 wide receivers in the first 2 rounds, but then holding off like I do.
Yeah, and I feel like you can get a guy like Etienne or Rashad White in the fourth round, potentially as like your RB2. Pacheco, these guys is your RB2. So I really am like, I'm going to switch my tune a little bit this year. Just those top 10 backs are really appealing. I just feel like you should be able to start 1-1 RB wide receiver. If you're starting at the beginning of a draft, you go wide receiver, and you should still be able to get a solid running back, like a guy like Kyren and what I showed you in the Slack, Derrick Henry and mock drafts falling to the beginning of the third, early second. So you're going to be able to get like a really good 1-2 punch. I'd say that Adams we deserve to have a conversation and bring him up, because Gardner Minshew, to your point, is capable. Like Michael Pittman, what he did when he filled in for Jalen Hurts, like Devontae Smith and AJ Brown, like more so Devontae than AJ. He was more than capable of throwing the football to his wide receiver. So Adams, I still think, has wide receiver one upside, maybe low end. But I still think like as of today, I would go Olave. Would you go Mike Evans over Adams? Because I feel like Adams is going to have more volume. Like Evans has never been a big volume guy. You go Adams over Evans?
Yeah,
I would too.
I feel like Evans is kind of, you know, to pull into the conversation, let's go back to the Giants, and not because I love the hate on my old team. It feels like Evans is banking on what the Giants did 2 years ago and thinking that everything going right is going to happen again. Even 90% going, like everything needs to repeat exactly what happened for him to be a top 12 wide receiver. Right. And the odds of that are against him. Even if 90% hits, 90% probably still gets him top 15, maybe definitely top 20. But that's what it feels like. It feels like you're betting on everything to hit again. And I'm never going to do that. Like saw kind of the bad for Adams, and it could still get better. Like everything needs to be great for, we're doing a toss up between these two guys. One needs to do everything right again. And then one just needs to just basically do what was kind of an up and down season.
Yeah, and the volume is king, like 175 targets for Adams and 136 for Evans. Like, that's not going to change. Like, Evans is going to live in that range. He's not going to get more targets. And you could make, I know you talked about it earlier, you just alluded to it. Scott Spratt, I had a convo with him. He charts a lot of data for us over at FTN. He talks about players that are unlucky and lucky, like kind of red zone targets. And he talked about Chris Godwin a lot, about one of the unluckiest wide receivers last year, especially inside the red zone. So even if we just see a little bit of an uptick from him, and a guy in Cade Otton, who I think is a really good tight end, maybe you see the touchdowns come down just a little bit. Volume, at the end of the day, volume. You're going to take a guy that has 40 to 50 more targets in Adams over Evans. That's how I split the difference.
Before we get out of here, we have breaking news, by the way. Jonathan Jones, NFL.com, is saying the NFL plans to play on Christmas again. Do you know what day of the week Christmas falls on this year, Chris Meany?
I don't. It's got to be a weekday. It's got to be a day that doesn't have football normally.
So. Well, it was Monday last year, and now it's, leap year, which means it falls on a flipping Wednesday. No. What kind of effing show are we going to do that week? All right, let's talk week 17 or week 16 waiver, or wait, I don't even, week 16 waivers, ranks, late week 15 react. Like, what the hell? What are we doing here?
It's going to be football on Monday, I assume. And then 2 days later, so what? Somebody's going to play 3 days after. I don't know what would happen there. Like, they'd have the Thursday.
How do you schedule
Thursday
that
too? Thursday would play Wednesday.
Are we going to have like a bye week in week 15?
There's probably going to be, whoever's playing Christmas Day probably won't play the week before. They're coming off the bye.
But that was week 16 this past year. That's what I'm saying. Like, are you going to have a week 17 bye or a week 15 bye? Or like, you can't do that. You can't have a week 17 bye.
It's weird. It's almost like they're forcing it. I like Christmas. I like football on Christmas.
Yeah.
It's tough. So, I can't imagine the players like that either. There has to be some sort of bye after or before.
Or like before they play. So maybe if they played week 15 Thursday, week 16, their Wednesday team, and then the next week they're fine because the Wednesday would give them essentially a week and a half.
Yeah.
So like it's kind of like playing two Thursdays in a row, which they've done to Dallas before when they've played a Thursday on Thanksgiving. So maybe that's the team that plays Thursday is going to get the Wednesday game too. But then you would almost have to like repeat games because you have to do the same team. Like you can't not do that to the unless they played one of them played on Thursday. This is the logistics are bonkers. I'm not even talking for fantasy purposes. I'm not even talking about the frustration that we're going to have to deal with. How do you run waivers, but then still include the team that played on Wednesday and then have to do like your lineup set for when? Like, this is a nightmare.
And even like high stakes leagues, NFFC, their waivers run on Thursday, like Thursday morning.
Most run on Wednesday.
Yeah, most of the standard is like Wednesday, morning, like 3 a.m. or whatever. But I think yours flexes Thursday, is it not?
No, it's Wednesday.
Wednesday?
It was Wednesday. Yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, I don't know. Like, what's the logistics from a real life standpoint, NFL standpoint, scheduling these players? And then from a fantasy standpoint, like, I don't know. Like, this high stakes to say that week, you know, we're going to run waivers the day before. It's really strange, but I can't imagine the teams are going to be playing. They're going to have Thursday, the week
I'm
before.
Waiting for the NFLPA. They're probably now losing their damn minds. They're like,
they're not going to like that one bit.
Stay tuned for All In Football next week on Wednesday, and stay tuned for All In Football in 2026, where we cover Sunday, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday football, and every damn day of the week. And screw college teams, screw the high school teams. It's the NFL every day of the week in 2026. Well, stay tuned for that. And follow Chris Meany at Chris Meany because you love him more than the NFL ruining your week.